Welcome to the Well Woman Show, where we use intersectional feminism, mindfulness, leadership, and strategy to support smart women to change the world without anxiety, insecurity, and burnout.
But I will say that most women find that when their sex life is working, be it by themselves or with a partner, they feel differently about the way they're moving through the world. They feel happier, they feel stronger, they feel more confident.
On the show, we challenge the status quo and support you to unlearn harmful messages that keep you playing small so you can activate your superpowers and live with joy, confidence, and ease. I'm your host, Giovanna Rossi.
Hello, hello, well women. Many of you are coming back from spring break, or maybe you're on spring break, depending on where you are in the country. This is for US people mostly. Although I think in other countries, you're also having, I know my sister who lives in England has some kind of midterm break as well. And so hoping everyone has had a safe and healthy week or so. Welcome back to the show if you're a regular Well Woman community member. And if you're new, I want to give you a great big welcome. Come over and join our community group. You can join us at wellwomanlife.com/community. And on the Well Woman Show, we explore a range of topics to support you to live into your full potential in every area of our life, right? So it doesn't mean like we're already high achievers and we already do so much as women, juggling so many things. This is not about, you know, let's grind and kill it and all of that. Like, no, we're not doing that. What we're doing is really connecting in with who we are and what our calling is and how we want to show up in the world, how we want to be visible, how we want to be seen. And we're up to really pretty amazing things. The women in this community really are quite remarkable. And there's so much going on. Sometimes we need to just take a breath, right? Take a breath and not get caught up in the gotta get more, gotta do better, gotta bigger, better. It's not that we don't have goals. It's not that we don't have a vision for our lives, but we are rewriting how we want to determine our lives and the lives of our kids and our grandkids. And we're really prioritizing what's really important to you. And this is a no judgment zone. So what's important to you might not be important to the next, and that's respected. So on that note, you know, we have many areas of our lives that we are focused on. Sometimes we're more focused on professional. Sometimes we're more focused on personal. But today we get to talk about sexuality and sexual health, which is so fun and so needed. It's an amazing conversation I'm going to have with Dr. Bathsheba Marcus, who's the founder and director of Maze Women's Sexual Health. It's the country's largest independent women's sexual health center. And, you know, we talk about how much sex and sexuality dominates our culture and our media, yet how little we spend talking about it, just talking about human sexuality. And I know for many women in this community, it's a big topic and one that we want to be able to talk about in a way that is not shaming, that's not uncomfortable, but that really supports us to live into our full potential in that area. So I talked to Dr. Bathsheba Marcus. She has for 20 years been overseeing the treatment of thousands of women. She's a licensed clinical social worker with a master's in public health, a master's in social work, and a PhD in human sexuality. Talk about high achieving. Dr. Marcus has been profiled in numerous publications, including the New York Times Magazine, and she's a frequent guest on TV and radio. In her new book, Sex Points, Reclaim Your Sex Life and the Revolutionary Multi-Point System, she is known as the Queen of Vibrators and the Orthodox Sex Guru. And we talk about that and how it was difficult for her as an Orthodox Jew to go into this field. And she grounds her practical and useful advice in the core belief that good sex is possible for everyone at every age, in every situation, and that solutions exist for nearly every problem. So on the show, we discuss why is understanding our sex life so important? How do we avoid feeling broken in our relationships? And how do we bring new energy and fulfillment into the bedroom? You can find notes from today's show at wellwomanlife.com/244show. And the Well Woman Show, as always, is thankful for support from the Well Woman Academy, which is our group coaching program. And if you are called to join us, we meet every week. There are office hours. We have a lot of support and community. It's wellwomanlife.com/academy. All right. Let's get to our interview with Dr. Bathsheba Marcus. I'm speaking with Dr. Bathsheba Marcus. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's so good to have you. And you're a new author. We are going to talk about your book. But I want to start with having you tell listeners, who are you in the world today?
First of all, you should call me Bathsheba because my patients call me Bathsheba. So you okay. should call me Bathsheba. I run Maze Women's Sexual Health, which is the largest independent sexual health center in the country. We're based in New York. And what's different about Maze Health, and I think what's different about my life's work, is that we deal with the issues, sexual issues of women, all kinds of sexual issues. But where most people assume things are psychological, the relationship, you know, how you feel about yourself, or sometimes physical, you know, what's happening in your body, we do both. And it's been making me insane that for the last hundreds of years, women are being told everything's in their head. Or if something is physical and somebody actually does manage to pick up the physical thing, nobody pays attention to how that's impacted on them behaviorally or psychologically. And so what Maze has really pioneered is this idea of, you know, merging the two. And I feel like it has just changed the way we treat women's sexuality. And, you know, we're local, we're in New York. People come to us from all over the place, but there's a limit to how many people can come. And so I've been wanting to write this book for a really long time because I feel really passionately about the fact that our sex lives really are in our control way more than most of us believe.
Okay. So before we get into your work and the book, let's just take a step back, a big picture. We know who you are in your professional capacity in the world. How else do you identify? Like, who else are you in the world overall?
I love that question. Nobody ever asked me that question. I am a mom and a grandma at this point. So if you ask me what the most important thing I've ever done in my life was, I would tell you it was raising my three stupendous children and my grandchildren, who it's hard to talk about without crying because I haven't seen them in a year because they live overseas. So, but I'm going to try not to do that. I mean, I see them on Zoom, but I don't really see them and I don't get to smell them. And if when I talk about who I am in the world, I don't know if you're familiar with this children's book called Miss Rumpius. My kids are always joking around about that book. It's a children's book. It was my favorite children's book. Basically it talks to kids about like doing the things you want and love in your life, but then figuring out what it is that you're put on this world to do to make the world a more beautiful place. And I really feel like that is my life's work. And my thing that I did, honestly, was raise my three children. But the other thing that I do is really try to heal women's sex lives, try to shift the way we look at sex and put it in a perspective of something that can work in our lives. And I feel like it's so broken for so many women. So that's a big piece. I also am an observant or Orthodox Jewish person, which I know everybody finds super fascinating that there could be a sex therapist for, you know, everybody who also happens to be observant and, you know, religious Orthodox Jew. And that is a big piece of me because that community is a huge piece of who I am as well. So if you want to put all my pieces together, that's probably, I also hula hoop badly. I'm learning how to hula hoop.
I love it. Okay. Is that a pandemic? Is that a new pandemic hobby?
Yes. A little. Yes. I just sort of felt like I needed to take up something that was a struggle. I always feel like we all should be learning something new, especially those of us in the helping profession who want to remember how frustrating it is for our patients. I feel like learning something that's really hard to learn. And for me, hooping has been really hard.
I love it. Okay. My daughter hula hoops. I so relate to your comments. My mom has not seen my kids, her grandchildren, in a really long time, actually 2 years, just because of the timing of things before the pandemic. And so we do Zoom and all that, but yeah, it's just not quite the same. Good. So let's talk about sex. Why Why are you called to fix this or to help with this or to support people with this? And is it mostly women that you support or is it everybody?
The Maze has a men's center and a women's center, and I run the whole thing administratively, but the women's center I'm the clinical director of. So my expertise is women's sexual health. That is my expertise.
Okay.
Probably so, more about men's sexual health than most people do, but really the deep dive is women.
Okay. So people come to you and they say what? They say, I'm having a hard time.
So there's people who come to me and the people who don't come to me, right? So there's people who come to me who usually plunk themselves down on the other side of the table and start to cry and say, I don't know what the matter is, Bachella. Like something is the matter, like a light switch. Let's figure out what's broken and turn it back on again. Like something is the matter. Either I never was interested in sex and it's really gotten way in my life, or I used to be interested in sex and I'm no longer interested in sex. And it's making me feel crappy about myself, or it's really sort of having huge ramifications on my relationship. So that's for the people who do come to me. The people who aren't necessarily coming to me, these are the people who I talk to, who sort of accost me at bar mitzvahs and synagogue pre-COVID and funerals, believe it or not, or the women when I'm out speaking, are the women who feel like their sex life is not working for them. And they don't know why, and they don't really believe it can be fixed. And they also sort of feel like, well, it just should be like that. And that's fine. I mean, I feel like if you're walking around happy in the world and you're okay with the fact that you have no sex life, really and truly, I am not there to, you know, say that you need to have a sex life. But I will say that most women find that when their sex life is working, be it by themselves or with a partner, they feel differently about the way they're moving through the world. They feel happier. They feel stronger. They feel more confident. And relationships just do better. You know, I'm really much more interested in sort of what the secondary effects are of a really good sex life than I am with, you know, any particular position or, you know, that's not so interesting to me, right? What's interesting to me is sort of the secondary benefits. And it's weird, Giovanni. Like, I feel like we live in a world that's like drenched with sexuality. It's all around us. It makes us all feel crummy about ourselves. But nobody's having like real conversations about, look, this is what sex is. This is how to keep it in your life all through your life. And you can do this. This is not rocket science.
And I feel like we're not actually, I want to ask you how, when you say sex life, what are you talking about? Because I don't feel like you're talking about people having intercourse or, you know, or like how broadly are you talking?
So I'm always talking about how sex and intercourse are not synonymous, right? There's a million different ways to have sex. You can have oral sex. You can use your hands. You can use the other 50 parts of your body. You can have phone sex. You can have internet sex. You can have sex by yourself. You do not need two people to have sex. You do not need only people to have sex, right? But I think a little bit we know what we're talking about. Sex is not the same as cuddling, right? Sex is not the same as making out. Although that may be the beginning that's leading to sex. If you forced me to give you a definition, I can do that because I have done a lot of thinking about this. So do you want me to give you my definition?
I would.
Or are you not that interested in it?
I really would love a definition because I want to make sure we're connecting this to, in the well woman community, we're talking about women showing up for themselves, expressing themselves, and being fulfilled. I want to know how that intersects.
So my definition of sex, and I'm going to get some pushback from the other sex therapists that may be listening to you, but that is it. My definition of sex is any activity, be it by one or more people, right? Where the ultimate goal, whether you achieve that goal or not, would be orgasm. That's where I'm going to get the pushback. But I think we're all in agreement that holding hands is not sex, that even kissing passionately for a while is not sex. But any activity that gets more viscerally physical, where ultimately the goal is to have an entire experience with a release at the end, whether that happens or not, that would be, I would call sex. And that would be, I am just as passionate about women learning, as men, maybe more passionate about women learning how to pleasure themselves, how to touch themselves, how to know what turns them on, and having that be a part of their regular life. I'm just as passionate about that as looking at relationships and looking at how relationships are affected by this as well. Because there is just something so fundamental and, like, I would say elemental almost about our sexual selves and being able to access our sexual selves and being able to enjoy and be present for our sexual selves, I think is one of the most empowering experiences that women can have.
Yes. And so that's That's very interesting to me and the listeners, I'm sure, because claiming our power and being fulfilled, it's so related to pleasure and standing in that and saying, this is okay. It's not shameful. Like, I think there's so many messages from society about pleasure and about what,
I think shame is a big one. But I also think this idea that you don't have to learn how to do it. Like, that's where I feel like it should be this magic pixie dust that just arrives on your doorstep somehow, which, sometimes if you're 18 and you're in the beginning of a relationship, that magic pixie dust does arrive at your doorstep. But for most women, learning how to have pleasurable sex and learning how to take care of your sex life it's a learning project, just like everything else. And, for years and years, I avoided comparing your sex life to exercise. I felt like, oh my God, we're moving. Cause I feel like people are going to be like, oh my God, how beyond unromantic can you get, Bacheva? But the truth is that when you think of your sex life as something you learn to do it in a way that makes you happy. You build it into your life, you pay attention to it, and you start to understand that the same routines you did when you were 19 may not be working at 25 or 35 or 45. Things are different. Your life stage is different. Everything is different. Your hormones are different. Your body is different. Then you'll start to understand that that is how you should be addressing your sex life. And I feel like we have this weird bifurcation, we're over romanticized, but on the other hand, so we shouldn't have to work at it. But on the other hand, then we feel so bad when it's not working. And we feel like we obviously just don't have the magic. Everybody else has the magic. We don't have the magic. And I'm here to say, I don't know what I can say on this podcast in terms of cursing, but forget the magic. This is not magic. This is a combination of science and know-how and love and support. That's what it is.
Yeah. Okay. So let me ask you this. You created this, you created Maze. You said it's the largest practice in New York, I think you said.
The United States, independent practice, because there's hospitals that one could argue maybe are bigger.
Okay, so how big are we talking?
The Maze has 45 employees. It has a laboratory, but a lot of that is support. There's front desk and billing. And so Maze has about 8 medical practitioners and about 4 therapists working.
Okay, all right. So you came to this work, why? Did you start off your career thinking, I have to address this. How did it unfold? It's rarely a straight line, so I would love to know.
It was not a straight line. It was a totally circuitous line. I started out doing not-for-profit work, running not-for-profit. That was the first third of my career. Then I got recruited by the founder of the Men's Center to help him set up his labs. And I didn't know anything about science, but the truth is that sex had always... It was always sort of sitting there because I was very, very enraged by the lack of sex education I had as an Orthodox woman growing up. That really had an impact on me. I was always much more comfortable talking about sex than other people. We can talk about that because Lord knows it did not come from my family. And he was treating male sexual dysfunction. And when Viagra came on the market, it shifted that whole reality. All the researchers and all the pharmaceutical companies and all the doctors who had been doing male sexual dysfunction all of a sudden kind of had this moment where there was this huge field was being undercut because it was so easy to now treat it with Viagra. And they all started thinking about women's sexual health. And I had been walking around feeling just so angry at how women's sexual health had been relegated to the sidelines and how everybody always assumed it was in women's heads when I knew there were all these physiological issues going on. So 20 years ago, this field just sort of came about and I went back. I already was a master's in social work. So I just had to go back. I went back to start training in this. I got really interested. And that's when I went back and got my MPH and my PhD. So I came to this sort of like most of us do. There was a personal passion. I felt like something is off and we need to fix it. And I was just kind of in the right place in the right time to take advantage of doing it because I was working with a urologist who knew male sexual dysfunction really well and was very supportive.
Mm, okay, great. And let's talk briefly and then we'll take a break and come back with the final segment. But I want to ask you, how do women achieve a happy, satisfying sex life? What are your main, top line points? What can people take away with them today about this mystery that shouldn't be a mystery?
that it shouldn't be a mystery. So I have a few, but let me start with this binary. Like, what's wrong, Bacheva? Let's fix it. It isn't binary. It isn't that there's one thing wrong that you need to fix. It's that you need to start thinking of your sex life as an amalgam of a lot of pieces of your life. And that is has to do with your physical health, your the medications you're on, the medications you maybe should be on, the hormones and what's happening in the hormonal changes in your body, your relationship, what's going on with your family and your kids, the way you've decided to use your brain or not use your brain, the tools that may be at your disposal that you've decided to use or not use. So that because I feel like people have to start understanding that their sex life is not a reaction to one thing that may be off. It's an amalgam. It's a combination. And that's where I came up with this whole point system, which is why the book is called Sex Points, right? You need 100 points in order to achieve a good sex life. And those points can come from lots of different places. And you need to kind of understand that and look for where you can get points now today where it doesn't feel like magical. And I can walk you through a really nice example of that, but maybe you want to stop and we can.
I think let's have an example because I want listeners to take away some real concrete direction.
Right. Let me talk about your sort of classic. So let's talk about Tammy, and let's say Tammy is, 19 years old and she's walking around with 90 points from her own body, right? Her hormones are at a high level and her health is at a good level and she doesn't have a lot of other things pulling at her. So she's got 90 points and she can have sex pretty much with anybody, somebody she just meets, at a coffee shop and goes home with, and she only needs 10 points and they're going to have good sex that hit that 100 point threshold. But now let's say Tammy meets some really hot new guy. She's 24 years old. She meets a hot new guy, the Duke from Bridgerton. She meets the Duke from Bridgerton and he's hot, new, and she falls madly in love. So that gives her 30 points there, 30 points there. Tammy now has 150 points and it's fine. And if the Duke does something really irritating to her and takes away points, it won't really matter. Or if she has a big assignment at work and it takes away points, it won't really matter. It'd be quite past that 100 point threshold. But if you look at Tammy, let's say we check in with her, 6 years later, Tammy is now 30. It's not so hot, new, and erotic anymore. She has seen the Duke in all his glory when he does not wipe down the sink and, take care of the things he's supposed to take care of. She still loves him. So she's walking around at, let's say 110 points. Her body's shifted a little bit. Yeah, now they have kids and they're knocking at the door. And now she goes below that 100 point threshold and she's at 90. And she just doesn't know what the matter is. She doesn't want to have sex. The sex isn't any good. She's just fed up, and she goes classically to ask her gynecologist, what's going on? Can you help me? What happened to me? And the gynecologist, trying to be helpful, will often say something like, well, Tammy, how was it when you guys were on vacation last time? When you went to Europe? And Tammy will say, oh, actually it was fine. And the gynecologist will say, well, see, clearly it's in your head, right? It's not a physical problem. But no, actually not. Tammy's hormones are lower than they were before. Tammy's gotten on birth control pills, so that has an issue. The Duke is on medication now and his erections aren't as strong as they used to be. All of those things are, they forgot to get a lock on their door. So she's always worried about the kids wandering in when she's having sex. So for all of those things, that's where these points come in. And that's why the book starts with this questionnaire to try to help you ascertain where are you most missing points? How is that affecting other things? And how can we, most importantly, get those points back without sending you off to Europe or Cancun? Because I don't believe that's what's necessary. Mm-hmm. It's great. I'm not saying Europe and Cancun aren't awesome. I wish I was there today. But you don't need that in order to have your sex life back. You just need a little bit of know-how.
Okay. I love that last part about you don't need all these external things or vacations or trips. You have all the tools. You have the tools. You just need support finding them, using them, identifying them.
Exactly. Exactly. And some of those tools are easy to access. Some of those tools are fun to access. Some of those tools you may need a physician's help with, but that's okay. If you're empowered enough to understand what is going on and to be able to articulate what you need and what you think is going on, because you're going to be the best diagnostician once I give you the tools to do that.
Okay, great. I'm speaking with Dr. Bacheva Marcus, and we're talking about her book, Sex Points, Reclaim Your Sex Life with the Revolutionary Multi-Point System. And we'll be right back.
You're invited to join me for a brand new monthly group experience over in the Well Woman Academy. This is a monthly group that includes access to the full 6-week course based on feminism, mindfulness, and the Well Woman Life Framework. It includes weekly groups coaching sessions with me, as well as office hours and a private Facebook group to share and grow. Don't get me wrong, this is hard work, but with these tools, you will easily find the time to do the course, get the coaching, and reach your goals monthly. If you find yourself worrying about whether you'll ever make it in the thing you're pursuing, waking up in the middle of the night with anxiety, lacking the energy you need to get everything done, stuck in some aspect of leading your team, procrastinating on moving forward with projects and tasks, or in a leadership role but second-guessing yourself constantly, I'd love to introduce you to the Well Woman Academy. It's for smart, high-achieving women changing the world who want to overcome anxiety, burnout, perfectionism, and insecurity. The result? You get to live your well woman life, a life of joy, ease, and abundance, even when things are tough all around you. Visit wellwomanlife.com/academy to learn more. We're back on the Well Woman Show with Dr. Batsheva Marcus, author of Sex Points, Reclaim Your Sex Life with the Revolutionary Multi-Point System. And we're going into the segment called Superpowers for Success, where we get to know our guests on a deeper level. And the first question I have for you is, what does success in life mean for you?
So I think I made reference to this earlier on, which is success in life will mean my leaving the world a better place than I came into it. It's so interesting, Giovanni. I'm starting to tear up as I talk to you. For some reason, this is really hits me very deeply. This idea that we are here to do something greater than just exist in this world. So I want to leave the world a better place than I came in. And sometimes I feel like I did that because I have these three amazing kids. But the more you can do to leave the world a better place, the better.
Absolutely. And I love that you said that, because really we are at a time when I think more and more people are raising the level of conversation, raising the level of consciousness about why we're here, you know, especially after everybody's been in a pandemic for a year. It's like, what's the point here? How are we contributing to a higher collective good? And so more and more people are really connecting in with that. So when did you know you were really good at what you do?
I think I'm good at most of what I try to do, besides like hula hooping and a few other of those physical activities. I was good at what I was doing before. Before I went into this field, I was doing community organization in the Jewish community, and I was really good at it and I really loved it, but I feel like I was ready for a change. I think I moved into this field kind of very tepidly, but I think the moment I realized that there was a real problem out there and nobody was seemed to be addressing it from the dual sides, which it needed to be addressed, the psychological and the physiological. As soon as I got that, you know what? I think as soon as I got this 100-point system, which was years ago, and Dr. Werner raised it with me. He was talking about infertility. Michael Werner, the urologist who owns the practice, he was talking about infertility and how we misunderstand infertility, and you need to look at it more from this point system. And all of a sudden, I felt like the clouds parted and the skies came through, and I'm like, I know that this is a model that can really work. I started using it with my patients in a way that I thought was incredibly helpful. And I think, I feel like I got it. So that was one. But sometimes I feel like it's just, I think I'd be lying to you if I said to you that every day I feel like I'm really good at this. Because some days I feel, yesterday we were talking about orgasms on the team. And I was feeling like we feel so hamstrung sometimes with orgasms. And it makes me feel so bad at what I do. And so it's not like I have every day feeling like, oh my God, I'm great at what I do. I'd be lying if I said that's the truth. I think a lot of time I do think that. And sometimes I think, I don't know, Batsheva.
Yeah. I mean, that's a natural way to be in the world is to have these kinds of ups and downs. But ultimately, you have a very solid connection with why you're here. And when you realize that you were really good at that, can you describe a personal habit that contributes to your own well-being so that you can do all that you do in the world?
I can describe a lot of personal habits I think I should have. On Fridays, I make it my business to talk to each one of my kids and give them a blessing before the Sabbath. I'm like laughing. You're getting me to do all these, saying all these things that are like so deeply embedded that I feel like I'm about to cry. That is a habit that makes me feel really grounded, because in the end, I think that's what's important. And
that's wonderful. Yeah. And what superpower did you discover you had only to realize it was there all the time?
I am a great problem solver. That is what I do. Like when people say to me, what do you do? And in every situation, I've been involved in a lot of not-for-profits, like building not-for-profits, my first career, this career, writing the book, getting the book out there. I'm good at a lot of things, but it turns out that they all seem to be related to one thing, which is if there's a problem, I don't usually get knocked down by it. Like my husband and I are always joking around about this. Like if there's a problem, he just sees a problem and I see, okay, well, here are five solutions. Like I'm a really good problem solver. And if the problem is, you know, pain in your vagina, or the problem is the paperwork is too confusing and overwhelming to people, or the problem is we have a Manhattan office and we need to staff it at the same time as we're staffing our Westchester. They're just problems. And I am just a great problem solver. So, which to be honest, some of my family and friends find it super irritating when I'm trying to solve their problems.
Yes. I was going to say, that sounds really familiar and it's not always welcome.
Exactly. But it works really well professionally.
Yeah, it does. Okay. What advice would you give your younger self, say 25 or 30 year old self?
I would tell her that life evolves differently than you expect it to. And that part of the adventure and the fun is just letting it happen and not worrying so much about where you're going to end up. And I could never, ever have seen my life unspooling the way it has. And I feel so lucky and so blessed that it has, because I feel like it took me places I never anticipated it taking me.
Mm. And do you identify as a feminist?
Oh, yeah. I started about 25 years ago. I started the Jewish Orthodox Feminist Alliance, which sounds like a total oxymoron, and it was the olden golden days of the Jewish Orthodox community has moved so dramatically, I cannot tell you. But at our first conference, which we thought maybe like 50 people would show up, to 1,000 women showed up. And the next year, 2,000 people showed up. Like we were speaking to a big, big void. I am a card-carrying active feminist, have always been. I think feminism has changed and shifted a lot in the last couple of years. So I feel a little bit like I've been backing off and leaving it to my daughter, because I feel like I had my heyday to say the things I needed to say, and now it may be time for new voices. But absolutely, I feel like it can't, I'm not even sure what that means, not to be a woman and not to be a feminist. Mm-hmm. If you're a person and you're a woman and you don't want women to be treated unequally, then I guess that makes you a feminist.
Okay, great. And what makes a good leader?
I once heard somebody say, and this had a huge impact on me, that a leader is somebody who walks enough in front of people that they can follow, but not so far in front of people that they can't keep up. And I feel like that has been important for me to remember. And I don't always remember it well, because I am definitely one of these on your market set, go and just take off. Like, obviously, this is the right thing to do. Obviously, like the whole shift in the way we think of women's sexual health, like it has been such a sludge. I know it sounds so crazy that I need to be convincing people that the brain and the body are working in tandem, right? That seems so obvious to me. And yet. And I feel like sometimes I'm just not sensitive enough to the fact that that is a new idea, and that a lot of these sexual, medical, psychological issues are new to people. And I just need to be more sensitive to that. So I'm a good leader in that I have good vision and I have the ways to make it happen, but I'm not always so good in that I don't move too quickly and expect mm-hmm. too much.
Yeah. It sounds like you have good perspective though. Last question for you. What are you reading right now? What's on your nightstand?
I am reading a book called The Liars Club, actually. Have you seen it?
Mm-mm.
It's a book about, I don't know how to describe it exactly. It's an English book about language and about a guy who's writing a dictionary and finding all these fake entries in the dictionary. But
oh wow,
it's a crazy book. It's super fun. And I have a book club. I wanted to say something about my book club, which is way more important than any particular book. I always refused to join a book club because all the book clubs I knew had turned into these big like rallies of like people inviting more people, and it was more about the wine and the books. And I once joined one, it was exactly like that. I quit. I couldn't stand it. And a friend of mine, a rabbi actually, who I do a podcast with about Judaism and sexuality, we were complaining about this. And I'm like, oh, let's form a book club. So we created a book club. It's 8 people, 4 men, 4 women. I have never heard of another book club that's mixed like that. 4 men, 4 women, no couples allowed. And we are religiously have been meeting for 15 years. Some people have dropped out. Can you believe it? 1.5 hours, we come in, we talk about the book, we choose the next book, we go. It is one of the most enriching things in my life. When you ask about things that really keep me mm-hmm. sort of hooked, we read Dostoevsky and we read like super, super modern, you know, stuff. So, and it's great because it gets me reading lots of fun, interesting things, which is great because otherwise I end up reading only sex books and I'm like right. The most boring person ever on the face of this earth.
Okay, that's great. That's good to know. And we'll link to the book that you are reading. We love to do that in our show notes. And it'll be at wellwomanlife.com/podcast, where all the show notes for this episode will be. And Dr. Batsheva Marcus, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's it for our show today. Remember, if you need support to live your well woman life, head over to wellwomanlife.com/Facebook to join our community. As a reminder, we are on NPR every week, so be sure to tune in at npr.org/podcasts and search for The Well Woman Show. If you enjoyed today's show, please take a moment and subscribe and leave a review. This helps raise visibility, which is super helpful when it comes to producing the show every week. For feedback, comments, or just to let me know you were listening, find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Well Woman Life. I'm Giovanna Rossi for The Well Woman Show. Until next time, have a super powerful week.